After today, I must say I have loads and loads of respect for Pastor Charles. I honestly thought I'd pass out on my way from the hill to here, but the Lord has restored me. I would firstly like to start off by saying a huge thank you. Thank you to the church for stepping up when we had asked and we had called and we had begged and we had pleaded for assistance with Holiday Club. We received so much help. It was overwhelming. I'm super grateful for everyone who chipped in. Thank you for all the donations. Thank you for all the material provided. Thank you for the prayers. I always say that I keep going because of the prayers of the elderly. But just I'd like to say thank you for everyone who contributed. It was to me a clear indication that this church really does care about the souls of the lost. It was also an indication that this church also does care for equipping the saints with the gospel of Christ. So I would like to say thank you, thank you, thank you. It was, I must say, an interesting week for me with the planning of Holiday Club and preparing this sermon. There were moments where I started praying for the flu that I'd be able to duck out of one. But I trust and pray that I'll be a blessing this morning and that God would use me. I'd like us to pray first and then we'll go into our sermon. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your grace and for your mercy. Lord, even as I stand here, Lord, I stand here not being worthy. Lord, this is not even a sacrifice, Lord. It is truly a privilege. Father, I stand here as an instrument, Lord, of your message. And I pray, Lord, as an instrument that I may be found pure and blameless before you. Father, as I bring your word across, I pray that the Spirit, Lord, would guard my thoughts. I pray that the Spirit would give me power, boldness, and clarity as I expound the scriptures. I pray, Lord, for those who will be receiving your word. Father, may you help us to receive your word with much gladness. May we apply your word in our lives. And Father, may we seek true Christ-likeness and transformation. For God, this is the purpose that you have set out for us. So God, as we go through this message, I pray, Lord, that would reach your chief end. And that is the glory of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So whilst I was thinking about a message to share this morning, the image of a wedding kept coming to my mind. I attended a wedding in May of two of my friends, and before this wedding, actually, we had went on a missions trip together. Now, both the bride and the groom are really close friends of mine, and we served together on this missions trip to Mozambique. If there's anything you know about Mozambique, Mozambique is a really, really hot place. As soon as we said goodbye to the borders of South Africa and we stopped in Mozambique, as soon as we opened the door, it was as if a fan of heat was blowing into the quantum. For me as a South African, I felt like a furnace. But for everybody else, it was normal. The bride before she went to Mozambique, she had already picked her dress. Now, little did she know that as soon as you get to Mozambique, we change from jeans to a jacket to shorts and a vest. So she wore shorts and a vest for the whole time during our missions trip in Mozambique. But there was a problem. The wedding dress she chose was strapless. Now, she wore a vest throughout the missions trip, and when she got back to South Africa, she had these horrible tan lines. Now, I haven't been married before, but I do know that in weddings, pictures are important. And nobody wants pictures in their wedding where they have these horrible tan lines. So every time I'd go visit her, I'd find her sitting under the sun for hours trying to balance out her skin tone and to get a tan and eventually lose out those horrible tan marks. But this got me thinking about our faith as well. It is true about the Christian walk. The more time we spend with the Son of God, it should be evident not only in our hearts but also on our countenance. The more time we spend with God, it should reflect clearly on our lives. The image of a camp also comes to mind. If you grew up in a church circle, you might have attended a Christian camp before. We've just had the JWC for the students. We had Holiday Club the past week, or maybe you've attended a seminar. And what happens after any of these events is you feel like you're on this awesome spiritual high. I call that a tan. You leave this place feeling like this, the Lord has done a great work in you and you're ready to take on the world. But unfortunately, there's a common trend that always happens. As soon as we leave these camps or as soon as we leave these events, we dip. We go back to our old selves. And in this passage this morning, I hope to show us why is it that we as Christians and believers we get this awesome tan and then we lose it, and hopefully by the end of this sermon, you will know if you have a tan or if you need to get one. So our passage this morning is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And only read one verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and the verse is verse 18. And it reads, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." You see, from my reading of Scripture and my understanding of Scripture, there has to be a clear reflection on the face of a Christian that this person has spent time with deity. There has to be a clear reflection on the face and in the life of a believer when they have spent hours beholding the glory of God. We have a few examples in Scripture. The first one is in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 29. It says, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tablets of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face had become radiant from speaking to the Lord." You see, Moses had spent 40 days up on Mount Sinai as the Lord was giving to him the law. And as Moses was up on the mountain, we also understand from the reading of this account in Exodus that he was having a conversation with God. And as he spent countless hours with God, as he spent 40 days with God, as he came down, Aaron and those with him saw Moses' face shine because he beheld the glory of God. You see, no one can behold the glory of God. No one can dwell in the presence of God and not show it. The glory of God will be evident in your walk and in your life. The second example in the New Testament is that of Stephen. In Acts chapter 6, verse 15, it reads, "And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel." You see, Stephen was a man after God's own heart. Stephen was a man after God's own mission. We understand that Stephen faced rife opposition because Stephen was teaching the doctrine of Christ. Stephen was preaching that salvation comes through Christ and through Christ alone, and the religious leaders were opposed to this. And because of this, Stephen would eventually be stoned, and we know that he would be stoned to death. But the council saw something. The council whom Stephen stood before saw that this was certainly a man who had beheld the glory of God. His face shone like that of an angel. The other example is that of Christ. We read in the passage of his transfiguration that after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain to be alone. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. You see, when I share this passage with my youth, there's this little detail that just seems to overwhelm me every time. You see, that the idea of transfiguration, the word comes from the word of metamorphosis. When an ugly hoho, a caterpillar, becomes this beautiful butterfly. We understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man. And when he had taken his three disciples to go up with him on the mountain, his glory was oozing out of him. And not only that, it didn't just affect his face, but it says his clothes shone. His clothes were brighter even than that of Surf, Mac, or Omo. The glory of God definitely has transforming power. Something beautiful about the Lord's transfiguration is that the apostle Peter had just finished saying his declaration of who Christ was. Christ asked his disciples, and Peter being present, "Who do they say that I am?" And Peter stands boldly and says, "I say that you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And then Peter gets to behold the glory of God right before his eyes. Peter's life was never to be the same again. Nobody beholds the glory of God and stays the same. What about you and I? A.W. Pink so sweetly writes, "Just as we beheld the Lamb of God when we first sought the Savior, that is, just as we turned away from ourselves, from everything else, and came in with all our wretchedness and need, empty-handed to Christ Himself, so now we are to continue beholding." You see, When Moses' face shone and Aaron and those around him saw it, he covered himself. When Jesus' face was shining before the disciples, when his glory was shining before them, he covered himself. Because the veil was not yet torn. When Jesus Christ had given up his last breath on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom, and you and I can now behold with our faces unveiled the very glory of God. And when we see this glory of God, it is His glory that is to transform us into the image of His Son. As you read the letters of the Apostle Paul, we understand that our mission and our aim here on this earth is to be Christ-like. We are to reflect the image of Christ to all in whom we meet here on earth. So that's the first thing we see. We all with unveiled face. The next thing, beholding the glory of God. Calvin notes that the word behold has a double signification among the Greeks, for it sometimes means to hold out a mirror and to look into it, and at other times it is to look into the mirror when presented. It is true that when the Apostle Paul was talking to the church here at Corinth, he was using the letter definition. You see, the gospel of God is the clear revelation of God. The gospel of God is a mirror whereby when you look into it, it shows you who you really are before God. It reveals you for your true self. The gospel of God also reveals who God is to you. So when he's using the phrase here, beholding the glory of God, it's like beholding the glory of God as in a glass. You see the clear image of his Son through the gospel. So, as I started, at camps, at church services, at conferences, people get to sit in for hours and hours beholding the glory of God. I had a conversation with, with some of the first years or second years who went to JWC. And what they had told me was that from the time they got there, they were just receiving, feeding on the Word of God. The day started, they had a pre-message. And then they had the main message. And then they had a post-message. And you ask yourself, why do these students come back from such a camp looking like they're just so excited for God? It is because they had an intense time beholding His glory with no distractions. That is what Paul is talking about here. We are to sit and behold the splendor of He who has called us. So, the question is, why does it die? Why is it that after 3 weeks, after 2 months, after 2 days, why is it that this glory dies? You see, when I went to Mozambique, I was convinced that I don't tan. Because of obvious reasons. But when I got back, everybody says, "Oh, hey, but Jabu, you look dark." But I was convinced that, I mean, I looked the same. I mean, I look at the selfies and I look at myself, I looked the same. You see, like Moses, the account in Exodus says, Moses didn't know it, but his face was radiant. You see, you might not know it, so you might not see it, but if you dwell in the presence of God, if you behold His glory, it will shine. Those around you will see that this is a person who's been spending countless hours with their God. This should be true of us. What does beholding the glory of God do? It's the next part of the verse. It transforms us into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Calvin says, the design of the gospel is this, that the image of God, which had been affected by sin, may be stamped anew upon us, that the advancement of this restoration may be continually going forward in us during our whole life, because God makes His glory shine forth in us little by little. The whole point of being transformed into the image of God is to restore that which was marred in the garden. You see, what happened in the garden is mankind was created in the image of God. But when Adam had sinned, when Adam and Eve had sinned, this image of God was marred. It was stained by sin. But when Jesus Christ came on this earth, took on the form of the servant, went and suffered the death of the cross for you and me, what happened was He was restoring to mankind that which was lost in the garden. The chief end of the gospel of God is that we would reflect clearly the glory and the image of His Son. If we aren't beholding Him daily, we cannot reflect Him daily. We will not show the tan. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why did God plan out the plan of salvation? Why did God call us into this marvelous gift of salvation? That you and I may reflect the excellencies of Him who has called us. But now, we all know that sanctification, holiness is a progressive thing. Maybe you sitting here and you're at the bottom of the graph. Maybe you have had your spiritual high and you're currently sitting at your spiritual low. I hope this message will encourage you to behold afresh the glory of God. You see, when it comes to sanctification, it's not something that happens overnight. You will definitely dip, but the beauty is in you rising up again. No one beholds the glory of God and remains the same. The Lord is on a mission. He's on a mission of changing fallen sinners into glorified saints. But this requires that mankind draws near unto him. Piper says, Christ died for me to make much of me. He rescued me whilst I was undeserving to make much of me. He forgave me to make much of me. He removed his wrath to make much of me. God wants to make much of you. He values you and he loves you. But we need to spend time with him. So how has your time been with God? Have you been devoted to him? Have you dedicated countless hours beholding this marvelous glory of God? Do you exercise discipline for him? Say no to certain things that will cost you from beholding his glory. You see, we see this practically in a story you might have heard in Sunday school or even from this very pulpit. And that is the story of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas exemplified this. They were imprisoned for preaching the gospel. They were tied to stocks. They were scourged. They were beaten till their backs were dripping blood. But we all know that they didn't complain. We all know that they could have sat there and spoke about how life is unfair. How the guy next door is getting so many good things, but they don't even follow God. They could have come up with many reasons to complain, and they could have even blamed God. But rather we know that they sang praises to God. They magnified the name of God. Why? Because their hearts were occupied with Christ. They were absorbed with the love of Christ, and they were satisfied in him. This overflowed in their actions, even in the midst of calamity and external pressures. You see, if we are saturated with Christ, if we are saturated with the glory of God, it will show not only in our hearts, but in our countenance as we live out in this darkened world filled with calamity and external pressures. Beautiful thing is we cannot preach sanctification without mentioning the ministry of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul says, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 to 18 it says that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that he has called you, and what are the riches for his glorious inheritance in the saints. You see, when it comes to salvation, we know that it's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But when it comes to sanctification, we know that it's the work of the Holy Spirit plus us that gives us the pathway to sanctification. Beautiful thing is the Lord God, the Spirit, wants to stand next to us and help us in this walk. And wants to help us behold His glory with unveiled face. In closing, we have been called to so much. We've inherited an inheritance that is undefiled, an inheritance that is unperishable. We have been called to power. If you feel as though that you are at the bottom, you feel like you've been beaten and you feel like there's no way up for you, this walk is becoming too difficult for you. Encouragement for you is you have power in your heart. The Spirit of God empowers you to live for Him. The Spirit of God opens up the hearts of your eyes to behold the glory of God. A beautiful thing We have direct access into the very throne room of God. We can go to God at any time and make our requests known. We can ask Him and plead for mercy and grace in our time of need. And we serve a God who looks to help us grow. He who has started the good work, He who has started this great work within us, will see it until the day of completion. If you forget anything that I've said today, the one thing I want to remind you and must keep ringing in your mind is, won't you behold the glory of our God? Take time out and spend time beholding and enjoying our God, and you will receive a tan. People will see that this man has been spending time with a God that changes lives. So the question is there visible change in your life? Do you have a tan? Let's pray. Father, I am grateful for just the fact that, Lord, you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. I thank you, God, that through your supreme sacrifice on the cross, we can now behold with unveiled face the beauty and the glory of God. Help us, God, to reflect this in our walk. I pray, Lord, that this message would even encourage just even one. Lord, a person who has been hurting, or a person who hasn't been living out their purpose for you. Father, won't you transform them into the image of your Son? I pray, Father, that this may be the purpose of our lives. That we, Lord, would show Christ-likeness in all that we are. And Father, I know that from this, you will be honored and you will be glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.